We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, we are pleased to have Hall of Fame baseball writer Bill Madden from the Daily News joining us, as he does every Sunday. Bill, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Richard. I'm doing a lot better than Brian Cashman is this morning.
Well, elaborate on that. I mean, the Severino groin issue seems to be, a big, big setback for them, a team in need of pitching. And with Taillon's failure to get out of the first inning yesterday, that doesn't help either. But elaborate on the Cashman difficulties that he's suffering through here.
Well, you know, with Severino going down, I mean, that $40 million extension they gave him is looming larger and larger. I don't think they've gotten a single start out of him since they gave him that extension. He's been nothing but hurt. And then, of course, yesterday, shortly after Severino limped off the mound, out in on the West Coast, James Caprellian, who you may remember him, mm-hmm. He was the Yankees' number one draft pick out of UCLA back in 2015, and he was the sacrificial pitcher that they sent to Oakland for the infamous Sonny Gray. Well, anyway, Caprellian pitched his six innings of shutout ball yesterday, so it looks like after all these setbacks he's had in his career, he's coming into his own as the pitcher the Yankees thought he was. All of this happening on the same day in which the Yankees are really struggling.
Well, and it's tough because you look at the long-term contracts, the expensive contracts the Yankees have. Aaron Hicks injured, Severino injured. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton has had his share of injuries, and it just is it bad luck? Is it poor diagnoses from the team doctors? I mean, it just seems that when they decide to invest in somebody, I mean, you can go to Jacoby Ellsbury as a prime example, that they just can't seem to stay on the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's having the injury problems, and these soft tissue injuries are the most perplexing of all, and they're all over baseball. But I'd say in the Yankees' case, it's, I guess, more bad luck than anything because, nobody could have foreseen this happening to Severino, although he has had a history of injuries, but usually they've been arm injuries. So I don't know. It's all I can tell you is that it's really quite a mess they've got up there in the Bronx now because I don't know how they get out of this. I really don't.
Well, Bill, you've been covering baseball for a long time. And I'm sure people come to you and say, hey, Bill, you know, back in the day, these guys would pitch, Mike Marshall, who passed a couple of weeks ago, threw over 200 innings as a relief pitcher, was in 105 games or something like that in one season. Guys would pitch complete games, at least seven innings. I mean, six innings was not considered a quality start back then. And yet today they're babying pitchers more than they ever have in terms of pitch count and in terms of throwing on the side and everything else. Is it possible that Leo Mazzoni, who said maybe you should throw more to avoid injury, was correct all along? But that doesn't seem to jibe with current philosophies, does it?
Well, that's what all the old-time pitching coaches and great pitchers will tell you. I mean, during the course of writing my Seaver book, that's all Tom used to talk about, how totally upset he was over what's happened to starting pitchers today and the way that they are babying them. And he says, you know, they're not giving these kids a chance to really be great. And he was right. The problem is it starts the minute they sign their first pro contract in the minor leagues. They teach these kids the whole thing is velo. Everything is about velocity now, whether it's the spin rates or whether it's just the fastball velocity or whatever. That's what they want. That's what the kids are taught all the way back in junior high school and high school. You know, velo is what's going to get you the big contracts. And so these kids, they throw as hard as they can for as long as they can. And that's pretty much the philosophy, starting all the way in the minor leagues. They don't have pitchers go more than, I mean, they've gotten to the point where they expect after five innings to see the manager coming out of the dugout to get them out of the game and not let them go through the lineup the third time, which is the whole philosophy of analytics. Don't let these kids go through the lineup a third time. And they don't teach them how to pitch out of trouble. They don't teach them, really, in a lot of ways, they don't teach them to develop their secondary pitches, which is what, you know, made all these great pitchers great. Seaver in particular, he became his best pitch towards the end of his career was his changeup.
Yeah, as you document in your book. And, you know, the amazing thing is, we use Tom Seaver as an example. He will have more shutouts. I mean, he had, 61 shutouts in his career. But he's probably going to have more shutouts in one season. I think the peak was 7. Than Jacob deGrom, who is accorded best pitcher in baseball these days, will probably have in his whole career.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it brings me back to about, I guess it was about 8 or 9 years ago. I was up at the Hall of Fame with the committee that I serve on to put people on the ballot for the Veterans Committee with a bunch of other older sports writers. And we were talking about Burt Blyleven, who had not yet been elected to the Hall of Fame. And one of the guys asked me, he says, why don't you vote for Blyleven? And I said, well, I don't know. I look at Blylevin's record, and I just don't put him in that same class as Seaver and Palmer and Carlton and the pitchers of his time. And he says, let me show you something. And he shows me the baseball encyclopedia, Blylevin's page, and he points to the shutouts, 60 shutouts. And I looked at this. I said, 60 shutouts, my God. And that was when I started voting for Burt Blyleven, because I said to myself, you know what? There's going to come a time when we're going to be putting pitchers into the Hall of Fame with 0 shutouts. And how am I going to explain that to Burt Blyleven? And that's a fact. I mean, it's a different game now. But it's, you know, as far from a pitcher standpoint, I don't think it's a better game for sure, because Seaver was right. They don't give these pitchers a chance to be great.
And even in Seaver's dotage, you know, baseball dotage, 40, 41, in his late 30s, ERA is like 4, 403, 438. I mean, that's considered to be a pretty decent ERA these days, you know? Yeah, and here's a guy at the end of his career.
Yeah, and Seaver's day it certainly wasn't. He would have been embarrassed with an ERA of over 4 or over. So yeah, I mean, it's all different, and what's really kind of sad is because, you know, you look at DeGrom, and we're seeing history with this kid. I mean, he's not a kid anymore; he's in his 30s now. But we're seeing history with this every time this guy goes out there. And yet, when I watch him, as I did the other night, every time he goes out there, I hold my breath. What's going to happen with it? He's going to throw a pitch, and all of a sudden, he's going to be on the disabled list, and it's going to be, you know, that's the other thing. These kids, not only do they baby them, but even though they do baby them, they all get hurt anyway.
Yeah.
All the Tommy John surgeries and everything else. And a lot of that has to do with the abuse they put on their elbows and their arms when they're in high school and later on in college. Because, again, there's this philosophy of velo number one and throw as hard as you can. And especially at the younger ages when they're in high school, those muscles in their arms and elbows or whatever haven't had a chance to fully develop. And they put all this stress on them. And that's why so many of these kids, they come out of high school or college and they immediately have to get Tommy John surgery. It's almost like the scouts today are, when they go to the general managers and they say, I got a kid, they tell them not only that, but he's already had the Tommy John surgery. It's like a feather in their cap for these kids if they can tell the scouts, oh, yeah, I already had the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, makes the elbow stronger than it was before. Bill, let's turn our attention to the substance situation now. You know, I'm sure you heard the Pete Alonso comments that, baseball is trying to hold the hitters down because they're going to be free agents. I think that's a bunch of hooey myself, but there are those who subscribe to that. I mean, yeah, baseball owners want to keep salaries down. We know that. And they'll do things to do it. We all went through the whole Peter Ueberroth situation and all of that. But do you really think that because there are going to be a lot of hitters as free agents that are deliberately trying to hold the batting numbers down this year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the fact that they have supposedly deadened the ball, I don't think anybody had a problem with that because it was getting out of control of the home runs. And then it had nothing to do with holding salaries down. It had to do with trying to making the game more entertaining as far as getting players, getting these hitters to put the ball and play more. If the ball is a little bit deadened, that means that these hard swings and uppercut swings and everything else isn't going to result in these cheap home runs. And I think that was the main reason why they did that. And as far as all this cracking down on the sticky substances that the pitchers are allegedly putting on the ball, well, this is going to be very interesting, I think, because they're talking about cracking down, but what exactly are they going to be doing? All I know is that apparently just the talk of cracking down has prompted a lot of these pitchers. Well, let me put it this way. Their spin rates have mysteriously gone down over the last couple of weeks. Now, whether or not this has anything to do with what MLB is about to pronounce on the game, which I guess is coming down in the next couple of days, I don't know. But I find it kind of interesting because this was another thing Seaver and I talked a lot about, was the cheating pitchers. Because he was adamant about Bonds and Clemens and these guys going into the Hall of Fame because of the steroids cheats. He was adamant about that. In fact, one time back in 2010, when we voted Andre Dawson into the Hall of Fame, I remember Seaver coming to me and he said, keep sending us class acts like this guy. And it was a veiled reference to the fact that Bonds was on the ballot that year and Clemens was on the ballot, and they got very little support. Anyway, so I asked him one day, I said, what about Gaylord? I said, he's the most notorious cheater of all. And Seaver, I think, maybe because Gaylord was a pitcher, he's part of the pitcher's fraternity, I don't know. But Seaver was always amused by Gaylord. And one of the reasons was because for all of his reputation of being this cheater, Gaylord was never actually caught cheating with any substances on the ball or anything else like that. He was, a couple of times he was told to take off his uniform shirt or change his hat. And he might have even been ejected from a game once, but they never actually caught him doing anything. And when you look back in the history of the game, and again, these were Seaver's peers, people like Whitey Ford admitted he cheated. I mean, he had Elston Howard would use his belt buckle to scuff up balls for him in between pitches. And, of course, this all through the years, I mean, some of the greatest pitchers of our time admitted to having been partitioners of the spitball on occasion. So I think it's kind of a little different. What's going on now, of course, is the way people are talking about it. It must be rampant that all of these pitchers are using this sticky stuff. And maybe that has a lot to do with the fact that offense has been held down a lot this year. But I'm not sure whether or not, the fact of the matter is pitchers doing something with the baseballs has been going on from the beginning of time. And I don't think if we have a situation where somebody like Gerrit Cole or whatever, if they actually threw somebody out of a game because they found proof that he had something, you know, had put something on the ball, they showed the baseball or whatever, I certainly don't think that that is something that you should keep the guy out of the Hall of Fame over, because it's been going on forever. And it's kind of been accepted as part of the game, whereas steroids was a whole different thing. That was, you're talking about altering your bodies and everything else as far as, you know, getting the edge, so to speak.
Okay, well, we're out of time, Bill, but the book Seaver, which was out last year, is still a great Father's Day present. It's a terrific book about a terrific guy. And, Bill, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon, I hope.
Okay, thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
All right. Bill Badden, Hall of Fame baseball writer for the Daily News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.